Our next speaker is Shirley.
Mama, hi family. I'm an addict named Shirley. I give thanks to my God for this particular time of being clean and sober, because truly, it didn't have to be so. I'd like to just pause for a moment of silence so those that are leaving can leave and I can compose myself and ask the God of my understanding to grant me some humility.
That's right.
Whew, thank you. Thank you, Paul. You took me there with you. You know, this third step, made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood Him. It's not a very easy step. This step requires a lot of action. And as I was sitting there listening to Paul and going back over when I was first asked to share on this step, it took me back to when I was a child, when I was 9 years old. And the thing that I realized is that just for me, those things from my childhood have all contributed to make me who I am and what I am today. And when I was reflecting back on that, I remember at 9 that my mother was in nursing school, and so I had the responsibility of taking care of a younger brother and cooking dinner. So now I was cooking the dinner, cleaning the house, taking care of the brother. The next thing I knew, I was going to a job, picking up a check, going to the bank, cashing the check, purchasing the groceries, bringing them home in a taxi cab, telling the bill collectors the check is in the mail. When they knock on the door, she's not home right now. So at an early age, you know, I was given control and responsibility. And as I continued to mature, I continued to really think that I was in control. I started liking being in control, you know? Even today, y'all might not believe this, but I have a problem with control, you know. So I was thinking that the God of my understanding is so good. He puts me right where I'm supposed to be, when I'm supposed to be there. You know, before we came into this meeting, once again, being the good dope fiend that I am, I'm going to manipulate the situation right here. You know, even though I'm on the third step now, right? I've been asked to share on the third step. Something came into my head that said, you want to be the second speaker. This is what you do. You put your belongings in that chair there, and you sit there, and, you know, that'll let everybody know that you intend to be the second speaker. Everybody being Paul. All of a sudden, sanity was restored to me, and I was like, look at you. There you go. Being a good dog. Get up. Get out the room. Go on about your business. And I went out there, and just so that, you know, I wouldn't be tempted to jackpot myself, I told somebody. So they know I'm not lying. My sponsor is here. She's been my sponsor since I came into recovery. I want y'all to know I'm from Hampton, Virginia. And my God has always placed people in my life to help me along this journey, even when I didn't know her. Now I was still running around using, being real crazy when I met this lady. And I kept going in and out of the rooms, you know, and I would hear a little something. But by the grace of God, almost 6 years ago, maybe 6 years on July the 1st, I went out and just acted just a fool until I couldn't do any more harm to myself. So I thought, I had $10 left. I went and tried all I knew how to spend that $10. Nobody would take that $10. So once again, here I was looking crazy. Eyes as big as saucers, weighed about 100, maybe. I put it like this. I was in a size 3 and had to wear 3 pairs of pants up under to keep them from sliding down. So that kind of gives you an idea, you know. And I remembered that I had seen this lady, and I had heard her share. And she had given me the phone number. And being a good dope fiend that I was, the only time I went to the phone was to call the dope man. And the other time, the phone was out of reach. Didn't have to use a pay phone. But I called this lady. And in so doing, what I found out was that God was still in charge, even when I didn't know it. The significance of that for me today is that after starting this journey of recovery, and she consented to be my sponsor, she started working with me. She took me to meetings for straight 7 days and then told me that from that point on, I had to chase this thing the same way that I chased my drug of choice. So I was like, okay. Then we started doing some intensive step work. Because I'm one of them intellectual addicts. You know, if it don't make sense and I can't reason this thing out, it's not for me. She gave me the step guide. You talk about some intellectual. This step guide was 15 pages long. Had, I know, over 100 questions on it. And I was like, what's this for? But what was even more stranger than that was she wanted me to come to her house to get it. Now, mind you, I done been clean a few days, a few 24 hours. So I thought I had this thing. Why I got to come to you to do this, you know. You want me to do this. And I remember she giving me a time to come, and I went to her house, and she wasn't home. I know she remembered this. And I called her back on the payphone. You know, I'm still trying to reach her, though, you know. I called her back and get on the phone. And I said, listen, I done been to your house, and you weren't home. I'm not coming back. She was like, okay. Okay. She was like, yeah. I was like, what do you mean, okay? That's your step work.
Yeah.
You the one that want to recover.
Yeah.
I'd already done mine.
Yeah.
Now, whenever you want to come and get it, I'll be here.
Yeah. That's a good spot.
So I was like, all right. Now, today, I have sponsees. And we can only give back what we've been given. We sponsor people the way that we've been sponsored. My sponsees do not like that first step guy sponsor. Want you to know. But they get it. And they don't like having to come to me to get it. But they come. And it's all good. You know, this third step about making that decision. You know, I found out that I thought I'd always been making decisions. You know? Really, I thought I'd always been making decisions. And I have. They just weren't always the right ones. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of times, what I thought that I was making a decision, actually someone else had already made it for me. I just went along with the program. You know? Especially when I was getting high. You know, I really thought I was in control of things. I thought that, you know, when I called him and told him to be there at such and such time and he was there, that, hey, I had some power going on. Y'all know about that. Now, I didn't have any power. But I still had a God. You know, when I look back on those first three, you know, I know I was powerless. And I knew definitely my life was unmanageable. And I was slowly being restored to sanity. You know? But then it called for me to put that faith into action. And sometimes, when I think about making that decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand Him, you know, I really want to just turn it over and sit down. You know, because I've heard that prayer works, and it does. I know that prayer changes things, and it does. But also, you still got to do some footwork. You know, one of the things that I sometimes find myself guilty of is that it's not enough for me to plant the seed and to water it, you know. I think I can control the growth rate. And how much it's going to grow, you know, how much I'm going to get out of it. But step three brings me to the reality that I plant and I water and leave the increase to God, you know. I sometimes wish that I could sit back and after I prayed and meditated and turned my will and my life over, that God gonna make it happen without me doing anything else. But that's not so. It's all about living life, taking an active part in it. It just doesn't happen by magic. You know, I'm still going a little insane because what I find out is that third step, I need to practice it on a daily basis. And sometimes I'm more willing than others. Sometimes I'm not willing to practice it. You know, sometimes I'm not willing to make that decision because first I want to see if I can fix it. That's, you know, got a little something to do with that still controlling issue that I have going on. But it's gotten better. Today I have awareness when I start doing that. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't have awareness immediately. You know, I wish that sometimes I did. Sometimes it takes me a week to 2 weeks to get the awareness that, hey, once again, you're trying to control the situation. And the person that most benefits from my controlling attitude is my husband. You know, I want to give him my program. Because like Paul said, I think my program is all that, right? You know, so I want to give it to him. And then when he rebels, you know, I get real confused. Yeah. I can't understand that. Can't he see? You know, what's wrong with him, right? And then I have to continue to go back and remember what my sponsor used to tell me from day one, and that is, keep the focus on yourself. You can't work nobody else's program. Half the time, you can't even work your own program. But you won't drive up somebody else's program. You know, and I'm like, duh. And then I go real insane when he won't do what I want him to do. When I want him to do it, like I want him to do it, and how I want him to do it. You know, and all of a sudden I go all up in my head. You know, I've been talking about doing a whole bunch of things. I don't know if any of y'all ever experienced this, but see, me, myself, and I, when I start thinking that, you know, I'm really running something, I got this perfect program, you know, I'm really ready to say, hey, forget it. I don't need this, you know, this, that, and the other, and it's his fault. Nothing's right. He's not doing this. He ain't doing that. I can do this. I can do that. And then I go to my network, you know, and I start running past them, and just a couple of days ago, they looked at me and said, you know, you crazy. So you crazy is all I do. I'm like, what? I'm like, well, wait a minute. Don't I offer you all good suggestions? And they're like, yeah. But you crazy is all I do is when it comes to taking your own. I'm like, you know, and I was saying to my sponsor, because she told me some time ago, you know, that she will always be my sponsor. But we live in different geographical areas. And as I continue to progress in the program, then my needs were going to change. You know, I might need somebody a little bit closer. And recently, when my sponsor is shaking her head again, it's become quite evident that, you know, hey, there's once again God doing for me what I refuse to do for myself. Because for the past year, you know, I've been using my network, I've been praying to God of my understanding, but I've been real crazy in some areas of my life. I've gotten to the point that sometimes, you know, just when I think that things are running well, I find myself not trusting my own decisions, you know. See, when I had my sponsor and when I was using my sponsor close by, I was getting direction. Now, I believe in working the steps. I believe in practicing the steps. But sometimes without that sponsor to guide you, to direct you, the sponsor's job, you start running one more time on self-will. At least I do. I do. And I kind of think I've been running here a little bit lately on self-will. And what I do know today is that every time I run on self-will, I run riot. I mean, I run berserk for a minute. But the blessing, once again, is today I have awareness. Used to be I wouldn't see nothing wrong with my behavior. You know? I would say it's everybody else's fault. I wouldn't have any acceptance. And naturally, I would not have played a part in it. Because sometimes still I like to play the victim. Instead of realizing that I'm actually victimizing and probably terrorizing and doing some more things, you know. But I tell you, when I surrender, I mean totally surrender, step back, you know, after I do the necessary emotions that I'm supposed to do. Once I do that, all I have to do is just sit back, turn it loose, leave the outcome to God. I had a performance appraisal not too long ago, and it was all messed up. Hello. The messed up part about it was not that the performance appraisal was unfair, but it was the fact that I had no idea it was coming. You know, because the boss didn't communicate that to me in the beginning. You know? And so I went off. And I was running around in a little funky space for about a month or two. You know, and that, while I was doing that, at the same time I was saying, God's in charge. It's going to all work out the way it's supposed to work out. Right? So I did the necessary things that I had to do to grieve and everything. But then, while the process was going on, you know, I wanted to get an attitude. You know, I wanted to look at people, you know, real crazy. You know, I wanted to treat my boss, you know, like, hey, you're not the boss, I'm the boss. You just getting a paycheck, you know, but really, this is my job. I mean, some insanity. Things that I had prayed on for God to give me, like this job, back in my field, with the government and everything. All of a sudden, I'm like, I got it going on. You know, start coming to work when I want to come to work.
Mercy.
Huh? You know, take many breaks I want to take, tell the boss, I'll be back. You know, come back when I want to come back. And then wonder why he's looking at me talking about he didn't know where I was. You know, all of these kinds of things. And then finally, one day, one more time, the light bulb came on and said, fool, sit down and shut up. Find some gratitude. Huh? You already did the footwork. You let it go. Now let God. So I had to put that step two back in action, you know, because I need to be restored to some sanity, sure enough. So I was really crazy. You know, I'm basically a happy person. I like to smile. You know, basically most of the time I feel good about myself and about life, how it's going. You know, and truly I thank God that things are as well as they are. Because when I think back about how they were, I know it could always be worse. And if I stop doing the things that you people have told me to do, that the literature says do, and don't actively use a sponsor, I know what's happening. I know what time it is. So I better act like I know, right? And if I don't know, I better ask y'all. Y'all tell me. But things are getting so much better. Sure enough, the outcome of finally surrendering that and letting go and letting God go ahead and do whatever was going to happen and realizing that no matter what the outcome was, I was still going to be all right. Because sometimes I have the mindset where instead of looking at circumstances as the cup being half full, I see it on that negative side, that it's half empty, right? But whenever I can see that cup as being half full, it's all good. It's all good. It's all positive. Because I know the only thing that's going to happen is it's going to get better. When I stop trying to control things, people, places, and events, manipulate them to what I want them to be. And again, it's a daily process. But some days I'm just not willing. I don't know why that is. You know, I still don't know why that after almost 6 years, that sometimes I have to continue to hit my head up the side of that brick wall before the understanding comes that let go and let God. Get your hand out of it. Or then there's those times, you know, when I let go and let God and things are rolling along just the way they're supposed to, and all of a sudden I'm like, okay, God, I got it now. I can handle it. I can do this thing, you know. And I get in the drive, see, mess it up every time. Mess it up. So then one more time, I had to sit back, you know, because I wasn't humble. I was humiliated. That happened quite a few times, you know. And then I had to go and apologize. One of those things that I really don't like to do either. I have a hard time with saying, I apologize. But it's better. Used to be, you know, I'd almost rather die and go to hell before say, I apologize. You know. Few folks can attest to that. But today, it doesn't take me nearly as long. However, I still have to get to that point where I understand that just because I apologize doesn't mean that person's going to accept it. Right then. Because, you know, I want to control that too. Look, I don't apologize. What more do you want? You know, you want me to get on my hands and knees, huh? You know. But what's been told to me is that, you know, when you apologize and your actions still remain the same. Hello. Are you really apologetic? I tell you, this process, and that's what it is, a process. I complicate it. It could be so easy, but sometimes I make it so difficult because I still suffer from self-centeredness, obsession, and compulsion in certain areas of my life. But I know if I keep coming in here and telling you people about it and try to be as honest, because there and there and there, they're a little dishonesty once again. I was saying to my sponsor, you know, I hope I don't get up there and all of a sudden something decides in my brain that sounds good, say that, and it'd be a lie. She said, well, if you know it's going to be a lie, just don't say it. I'm like, that's real simple, you know. That's real simple. Just keep it simple. Keep it simple. Keep it honest. And that's, to me, what that third step is about. When I make that decision, in order to carry through that decision, I have to let go and let God. I have to stop manipulating, stop controlling, trying to control the outcome. You know, because it doesn't work when I do that. Take each day one day at a time and stay into the present. Because I do like to forecast, you know, how life's going to be 20, 30 years from now. You know, when I get the retirement check and all that. And all of a sudden, something comes back and says, 20, 30 years from now, not promised to you. All you got is this time right here, so you need to make the most of that and stop wasting your time thinking about what could be and think about what is. So, how we doing on the time? Doing good? Okay, so before I start adding stuff to it, trying to run some things, you know, I just want to say that, you know, this is my first convention. My first convention, and I was excited. I'm still excited. I'm pumped up. And I'm very grateful that someone asked me to share my experience, Brother Hope, on the third step. And hope that something that was said will help the newcomer struggling with this thing. And all I say is work those first three steps to the best of your ability with a sponsor. Develop that relationship with the God of your understanding. Surrender, surrender, surrender to those things that keep you crazy. You know, keep coming back. Don't give up 5 minutes before the miracle. And truly, truly, I have been spiritually refreshed and glad to be alive. Yeah. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks much. I really needed this meeting. I've been tried up in service. So can we have a reading? Hello, meeting going on. Can we have a reading of just for today, please?
Did they leave?
I don't know.
No. Does anyone have the just for today reading?
The pink one.
The pink one. Could you come up and read it, please? Did someone say they have it? He doesn't have it. Since we don't have the reading, could we close the meeting?
With got one. I got
it right. Do you want to read it? Come on up and read it. Thank you.
My name is Greg and I'm at it.
Hi, Greg.
All right. Tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone. In NA, who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new association, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way,
I have nothing to fear. Just for today.
All right.
Can we have a moment of silence followed by the serenity prayer?
What are we doing? Y'all in front of the table? Behind the table? Where are we going?
I don't know.
Where are we going?
Say it right.
Oh, yeah. No. Do you want me to say
it? Sure.
You know, I ain't trying to run that.
No, Haley. Listen, I've been so busy, I needed this meeting in a big way.
Hi, family. I'm an addict named Shirley.
Hi, Shirley.
We gather in the circle to show that no addict need do it alone. We have a moment of silence for the addicts still suffering both in and out of these rooms, followed by the serenity prayer. Who brought us here?
God.
Grant us
serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
And it won't if you don't.
I'll handle that.
Right.
I may actually run it up.
That's why. Where's Hope? Okay, I see one.
All you need is just for today, right?
Right. Just for today.
What is this?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I ain't worried about that. That works. Hey, how you doing, my man? All right. Good.